An independent collective of marine scientists urged the government to consider their seven-point plan in response to South Australia's harmful algae as it continues destruction of the state's marine environment. The Biodiversity Council, including 11 universities, has released a report outlining seven key actions. Among this, the council warns the algae explosion is not just a South Australian issue, saying the bloom's impact will be extensive amid a rise in marine heat waves. The report follows $28 million pledged by state and federal government to assist SA as it grapples with the outbreak. The Wire's Ryan Curley spoke to lead counsellor at the Biodiversity Council, Professor Greta Pessel, to hear more.
The $28 million pledged by the state and the federal government combined is an excellent start to respond to this kind of event, but it isn't really enough to do the preparation for how can we be better prepared to respond to this kind of event down the track. And it isn't enough to do the long-term monitoring that we need across the Great Southern Reef region, including South Australia. So that it's a good start, but there certainly needs to be more that happens. And when you consider the scale of the damage of this kind of event, which, you know, is several hundreds of kilometres at the moment, it unfortunately may even increase beyond that. But the impact on the marine ecosystem exceeds those physical limits of the current harmful algal bloom. We have a highly connected coast, and many of those species will affect other places along the west and the east coasts.
You mentioned earlier about that monitoring program. How important is that we have that at the Great Southern Reef, and how will that help us move forward in preventing something like this in the future?
In terms of understanding what's at risk and how to prepare and manage these events going forward, the Great Southern Reef region does not have a long-term monitoring program equivalent to what happens on the Great Barrier Reef. So on the Great Barrier Reef, there's $40 million there that's spent on long-term consistent monitoring. So there's a better understanding of what lives where in the first place and how those species respond to other drivers and pressures. We don't have that across the Great Southern Reef, and yet we've got a larger area. There's five jurisdictions across that Great Southern Reef, from Western Australia through to New South Wales. It's incredibly complex, and we really do need to have that long-term monitoring so we can understand what's been impacted and then try and do the best that we can with helping these systems recover.
The Biodiversity Council did report that the toxic algal bloom has impacted 500 kilometres of South Australian coastline. What are some ways these marine ecosystems can be restored, especially across such a vast distance? Obviously, you've mentioned that, but what are some specific ways we could help restore this?
Yeah, so there's cleaning up the unfortunately very large number of dead marine creatures that have washed up on the beaches. There's probably little that we can do to try and remove such a large number of dead animals off the actual ocean floor, but certainly removing the dead sharks and rays and large bodies of things that have washed up on the beaches. And unfortunately, there's no quick fix for this kind of thing. It really does have to be a long-term, multi-pronged effort to try and reduce the impacts in the future. So coastal restoration, reducing nutrient runoff. I know that they're things that people probably don't want to hear, but unfortunately, that's what it would take to reduce the impact of these events. I think it is critically important that there's support given for fisheries and aquaculture and tourism operators. So in the context of fisheries and aquaculture, for example, seafood is one of the lowest carbon intensive forms of protein that we can eat.
Over the past decade, Australia has dealt with separate marine heat waves, smaller blooms all around the country, rivers, etc. What can be learned from the management strategies used in these situations? Obviously, everything's different, but can they be applied to this outbreak that we're seeing now?
Yeah, look, I think one of the biggest challenges is that we have our oceans around Australia crying out for help in all sorts of different ways. At the moment, there is the harmful algal bloom that we're talking about at the moment. We've had challenges off the east coast of Tasmania with major heat waves. There's extensive bleaching on the western side of coast at the moment, areas like Ningaloo, regions on the west coast there. We've lost 80% of some of the corals in some of those regions from bleaching and that have been cooked outright from the heat wave. We've never had such extensive bleaching on our west coast of Australia. We've never had extensive bleaching on the west coast and the east coast, so the Great Barrier Reef, at the same time before. So whatever part of the coastline you're looking at, it really is just crying out for help.
Professor Greta Pessel from the Biodiversity Council there, speaking with The Wire's Ryan Curley.